Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning and welcome to another edition of Rise and Shine Global Ministries. My name is Daryl Hicks and I will be your host for the next 29 minutes and 48 seconds. So, hey, let's pray and just get right into the program. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for another year, another opportunity to show forth your love, another opportunity for people to come into the kingdom, another opportunity to just demonstrate, you know, the life that we're supposed to be living. Now, does that mean, that doesn't mean everybody has lived out the fullness of the life that we're supposed to be living. However, we've had the opportunity and you continue to give us the opportunity to just show forth your love to people. And Father, thank you for this day, because this is the day that you have made, and we choose to rejoice and be glad in it. You're a good God. You're a wonderful God. You're a loving God. You help us. You care about us. You have our best interest in mind. And I thank you that as I have this opportunity, that you speak through my vocal cords, that you think through my mind, that it's all of you and none of me, and that everything I say and do comes out correctly, and that it's done in love, and it helps people as they listen. That's the bottom line. That's the truth of the matter. And whether 7 billion people listen or 7 people listen, it doesn't matter, because it's the message. And I made up my mind, if I reach 1, then praise God. If I reach 7 billion, praise God. I'm going to praise you anyway. And for that, we give you thanks. And it's in the wonderful, you know what, Lord, Father, before I finish up with this prayer, I ask you to do something good for people. I know you've commissioned us, you know, over the earth, and you've given us the authority. But today, as people literally lay hands on themselves or lay hands on somebody else, I thank you that your power flows through them. I thank you. I thank you that people experience financial miracles. You know, the Bible, your word says that the angels hearken at your spoken word, at the spoken word of God. So I speak your word, and I know that there are angels all over this planet, you know, carrying out your will. So there are people who need to be born again. I thank you that people get born again today. I thank you that people come out of depression in their mind. I thank you that mental illnesses are stopped and ceased and reversed and gone. I thank you that physical bodies are healed right now in Jesus' name. I thank you that financial miracles take place all over this planet. I thank you that relationships are restored, that sons and daughters come home, and moms and dads come home, and uncles and aunts get it together. And I thank you that socially, I thank you that there's peace, not only in the United States, but there's peace within, you know, a person has to be at peace before they can demonstrate or start operating in peace. So I thank you for peace in the United States of America. I thank you for peace on the North American continent. I thank you for peace all over this world. Yeah. I thank you for that. And it's in the mighty, wonderful, majestic name of Jesus that I pray. And I thank you, Father. I know I keep adding stuff. Yeah, but I mean, while we're praying, let's get it. I thank you that this government shut down, that in the midst of it, people start to realize your will for their lives, and that their prosperity, their success, their joy, their career, their advancements, their promotions are not tied to a job. They're tied to you, who gives us occupations and who gives us, you supply all of our needs, wants, desires, occasions, and demands, so that we don't have to, you know, you're my shepherd, I shall not want. You know, you cause me to lay down in green pastures. You cause me to walk beside the rivers. You cause all that. And because I'm a tither, I have a right to have the devourer rebuked. And I choose to shout for joy. Let them continually say, you know, shout for joy. So I choose to shout for who takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. And I'm not a servant, I'm a son. Because I'm in the family. Because on that day when you showed up to me and I made a decision that I wanted you, and I chose to believe on you. And that is so good, because Acts 16, verse 30, in your word, it says that, you know, the jailer, he brought Paul and Silas outside, and he said, hey, man, what do I have to do to be saved or start living life? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus, and you and your household will be saved. Well, that's simple. So today, Lord, we choose to be believers. We believe. We believe. We believe. And you know what? With that being said, oh, in Jesus' name, amen. So I got to go ahead and seal it. All right. If you're listening, hey, we had to go ahead and take care of business as far as the prayer part. But today, it's time to start living the supernatural life. What does that mean? It's simple. We are, for those of us that are born again, we've been commissioned, we've been authorized to live above this natural world system. The scripture says that we're in the world, but we're not of it. Well, what does that mean? That's like, look at it like this. You may go to a job every day, but that job isn't you. You go. You minister to people, you work, you get compensated, and then you leave. So you're on the job, but that's not your job. That's not you. So I'm in this world, but I'm not of it. What does that mean? Oh, well let's just go through the scriptures. Let's just go through what we got written down. First of all, let me start out by saying this. This is Romans chapter 3, verse 4, the New Living Translation. And it says, even if everyone else is a liar, God is true. Did you catch that? Even if everyone else is a liar, God is true. You have to resolve and make up your mind that, hey, I'm sticking with the word. You know, because there are a lot of people out there who are going to say a lot of things that are contrary to the word of God. But as a Christian, you have to make up your mind. Whose report? Who are you going to believe? Well, I believe what I heard on the news. Well, the news changes on a daily basis. Well, I heard what they said, you know, around the water cooler. Well, that changes also. Have you noticed that God is the one person Jesus is the one person who's been around before all the people that have died, that have gone on and left this planet? And he's going to continue to be around. He's not going anywhere. He's not going anywhere. Let me read all of this verse. It says, I'm reading the New Living Translation. And in Romans chapter 3, verse 4, it says, of course not. Even if everyone else is a liar, God is true. As the scriptures say about him, you will be proved right in what you say, and you will win your case in court. Stand on the word of God. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what's going on. I don't care what people said. So now that you believe that God is true and everyone else is a liar, it says let everyone else be a liar. It doesn't mean everybody's a liar. That's not what the scripture's saying. But what it's saying is if you have to choose between the word and somebody else, a person, you stick with the word. You stick with that word. Stick with that word. Now, turn in your Bibles, if you have it. If not, I'm going to read it. I mean, I'm going to read it anyway. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And it says, then God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground. Well, that's pretty simple. So human beings are made in the image of God. God is spirit. God is love. God is gracious. God is kind. God is peace. God is Go through the Bible and look at all the things that God is. Then go through the Bible and look at all the things that Jesus is. Because 1 John chapter 4, verse 17 says, as he is, so are we in this world. Then look at all the things that the Holy Spirit is. When I say all the things, because, you know, he's a comforter, he's a helper, he's a guide. You know, I believe it's in John, maybe chapter 14, somewhere along in there. So if I'm made in the image of God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, I'm made in his image, I am a spirit, I possess a soul, and I live in a physical body. When God came to the earth, he lived in a physical body. He named himself Jesus. Well, what kind of thinking did he have? He had a heavenly thinking. That's the Holy Spirit. So God, the entire Godhead, dwelled in a human named Jesus. So I, being a God, live in a physical body named Daryl, and I have a soul, which is where my mind, my will, my emotions, that connects with the Holy Spirit, who is the mind, will, emotions of the Godhead. So you're a three-parted being. I would say tri-being, but sometimes people don't quite know what tri means. So there are three parts to you. You are a spirit, you possess a soul, and you live in a physical body. You are literally a superhuman. You're designed to live above the natural. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we're going to look at verses 17 through 21. Because not only are you a new creature, but you've been given an assignment. There is a job that you're supposed to be doing. That doesn't mean go quit your job, quit your current occupation. That just simply means that God had an assignment for you before the foundations of the world, and it's our responsibility to find out what that is. So it says here, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, wait, I want the New Living Translation. There we go. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. The new life has begun. That is so good. You get an opportunity to start a new life when you get born again. And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. Oh, a task, a job, an assignment. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them, and he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. That's what I'm saying today. Come back to God. You can come home. You can come home today. You can come home today. Today is your day of salvation. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, then that's in Adam, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. Oh, that's good. That is so good. And then 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1 says, as God's partners, look at that, we are partners with God. We're co-laborers. We beg you not to accept this marvelous gift of God's kindness and then ignore it. So once you get born again, once you accept, believe on Jesus, our responsibility is to go out there and tell people. And you know, you don't have to beat people over the head about it. You don't have to, you know, just when they see you coming, and oh, here they come again. You don't have to do all that. Just let your light shine, you know. I found that actions are so much better than words in some situations. Not all situations. Some people I get the opportunity to talk to. Some people I get the opportunity to demonstrate. Some people just watch me to see what I'm going to do. For example, when I was at I went to see the new movie Bumblebee, and I went on a backstage tour of the Chick-fil-A headquarters, and then afterwards, which was actually phenomenal. The tour, I'd been on it before, but I took some teenagers, a senior and a junior, took them on the tour, and they just had a great time, and so I figured, you know, before I go pick my grandson up, I'll go and we'll go to a movie so I can wait till he's ready. And then I'll go pick him up since it's not that far, because I live about a good 30, probably, 35 miles from my grandson. So, and then I wanted to make sure my wife was off work, and so that when I got back, she'd be home and she could, you know, the whole thing. You got to think stuff out, you know. So I went to see the movie Bumblebee, and as I approached the ticket office where I'd get the ticket, I spoke to the young man, hey, how you doing? You know, good stuff like that. And then he just kind of looked at me, and, you know, I'm thinking he's going to respond in a godly manner, but he didn't. And so I asked him, I said, hey, he said, well, what movie do you want to see? First of all, you know, well, praise God. Okay. So then I said, yeah, give me 3 for Bumblebee. I said, what are your ticket prices? Because they weren't listed up there. He said, well, what movie you want to see? I asked you what ticket prices. I didn't say this. But so I'm looking up there, and, you know, he tells me what the ticket prices are. And so finally, the young man was, I'm not sure if that was just his normal character or if he was having a kind of a bad day or whatever the case. But so what I did, I just chose to continue to walk in love. I just chose to walk in love in my mindset. And do you know, at the end of the conversation, young man was like, hey, enjoy the movie. You guys have a good time and stuff like that. And the 2 teenagers that were standing there with me were kind of looking like, you know, it wouldn't went down like that if it was me, you know. But see, that's why people are watching you. They're looking at how you respond and react to things. See, I respond. I don't just react anymore. Respond means I take a minute. I pause, I think about my response, and then I respond according to the word. Does that mean I get it right every time? That's the goal. That's the goal, is to get it right every time. Why would I want to walk around thinking I'm going to miss the mark? That's all I'm saying is, you just missed the mark. You had an opportunity, and you missed it, but then he gives you another opportunity. He keeps giving you more and more opportunities. So that's the important thing. Okay. Let's continue with the lesson. Let's see, how much time do we have? About 13 minutes. Let's see if we can wrap this up. Okay. Today I want to talk about Superman, because we're superhumans, so we're super people. People will tell you Superman is not real, but that's not true. Superman is real. His name is Jesus. Now, the Superman of the comic books and movies and cartoons and everything like that is literally a make-believe character, but it's based on literally Jesus, because the Jesus of the Bible is real. Jesus lived above the natural. There's a scene in Superman 2 where I think it's General Zod, I think her name is Erm something. And then there's a big guy who just grunts. When they were released from the glass up in space, and they came to the earth, they walked on water. Well, Jesus walked on water. Now, we believe, when I saw the movie, I wasn't even born again. But I believed, because of their superhuman state or nature, they could walk on water. Well, Jesus walked on water, and as he is, so am I in this world, so I can walk on water. Peter walked on water, so we got somebody other than Jesus and other than somebody in a movie walking on water. So the Jesus of the Bible is real. I'm real, and as he is, so am I in this world. You know, that almost has to be, oh, thank you, Holy Spirit, for reminding me. You're going to have to set your mind that this year, you're not going to go into this year with the same old mindset. Go into the new year as a born-again believer, ready to live out the life that God has for you. Yep. Super means above. Human means natural. So let's put the words together, and we're going to make a compound word. Superhuman means to live and function above the natural physical world. According to this natural physical, or what we've seen, humans can only defy gravity for a short period of time. Michael Jordan, you know, one of the highest jumpers in history, of course, Vince Carter, you know, and I'm relating it to basketball because these are individuals that I'm familiar with. as far as, you know, growing up playing basketball, pretty much majority of my time on this planet thus far. So, but Jesus defied gravity when he ascended to heaven. Well, yeah, but that's different. How? How's that different? It says right here, super means above, human means natural. So a superhuman means to live and function above the natural physical world. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17 says, as he is, so am I in this world. So if Jesus said, the works I do, you'll do, and greater works will you do, because I got to go to the Father. So whatever Jesus, so if Jesus walked on water, I can walk on water. Well, somebody said, well, why don't you just go out there and walk on water? Now, see, there you go, trying to get me to prove God's word. I don't have to prove God's word for your life. Signs, wonders, and miracles are not designed to get me to convince you of something that I already am. Signs, wonders, and miracles are designed to get your attention to where you can know there is a God and you can have access to a relationship with him whenever you want to. Yeah. Jesus did miracles, and I'm going to find it in the Bible where it talks about the purpose of signs, wonders, and miracles and everything. But there's stuff going on around you all the time. Mm-hmm. Okay. Jesus lived and operated above this natural physical world. In Mark chapter 4, verse 39, let's go there. And I want to finish this, but, you know, praise God. Let's see. Let's go to Mark chapter 4, and we're going to look at verse 39. Actually, you know what? What we're going to do, I'm just going to read the scriptures, and then I encourage you to go and go and read them for yourself. But Mark chapter 4, verse 39 says, when Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, silence, be still. Suddenly the wind stopped, and there was a great calm. Well, that's pretty simple. Jesus woke up. Well, his disciples woke him up. He didn't just wake up. When the disciples woke him up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, silence, be still. Suddenly the wind stopped, and there was a great calm. I've done this before when it came to, there was a tornado one time came through. I was living in Mississippi, and this tornado was headed towards my parents' house. And instead of freaking out and panicking and running inside, I stepped out the door, pointing in the direction of the tornado, and I said, in the name of Jesus, you will not come on this road. You will not damage anything around this property. You will not touch it. And that tornado made a turn. Well, yeah, but who can prove it? You might just be talking that. Look, let me tell you something. I don't have anything to try to prove or lie about. I know what happened. I just put it like that. I don't have to. It's not my job to go around proving, or you can't prove that it didn't happen. So I'm not going to try to prove to you that it did happen. I'm just telling you what God did. I know that, and how I exercise my authority. So Jesus lived and operated above the natural physical world, and so should we. And you can find that in John 14, verse 12. So let's see if Jesus and the Son of Man and the Man of Steel have anything in common. Came from the planet Heaven, John chapter 8, verse 33. Kal-El came from the planet Krypton. Jesus was sent to the earth by his father, John chapter 6, verse 38. Kal-El was sent to the earth by his father. Jesus was raised by a stepdad, Matthew 1, verse 18. Clark Kent was raised by step-parents. Jesus knew he was the savior of the world, John chapter 13, verse 3. Clark Kent knew he was Superman. Jesus and Peter walked on water, Matthew chapter 14, verses 28 through 29. General Zod, Ursa, and Nun, evil Kryptonians, walked on water in Superman 2. Jesus would often communicate with his father in a quiet place, Luke chapter 22, verse 39. Kal-El would often communicate with his father in a quiet place. It was called the Fortress of Solitude. Jesus had 12 followers, Matthew chapter 10, verses 2 through 4. Superman had the Justice League of America, There was Batman, who would be equivalent to David, 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 8. Wonder Woman, who will be equivalent to Deborah, Judges 4 and 4. Green Lantern, who will be equivalent to Mordecai, Esther chapter 8, verse 2. Aquaman, who will be equivalent to Peter, John chapter 21, verse 7. The Flash, who will be equivalent to Philip, Acts chapter 8, verse 39. And Martian Man, the Martian Manhunter, who will be equivalent to Samson. That you can find that in Judges 15, verse 14. So in the comics, Superman would often save the day, but he couldn't save souls. But Jesus can. So here's the thing. With all that being said, and I encourage you to go back and click. I added, I get excited about the word. I really do. Because I know what it can do in a person's life. I know what it did for my life. And I wouldn't share it I'm not going to share something that didn't impact my life. The word impacted my life. It made a difference. It was the difference. I see things in a whole new light. I see things in a whole new way since getting born again. Now, does that mean I get everything right all the time? Remember, that's the goal. That's the goal. You should have a goal when it comes to the things of God. So in the comics, Superman would often save the day, but he couldn't save souls. But Jesus can. Now we're going to go to a literal, and I am so grateful to God for my pastor who showed me the simplicity of the gospel. Because the question arises, what must I do to be saved? What do I have to do? And we're actually going to go to a scripture to where this guy, he asked the question, what do I have to do to be saved? So let's see. Let's do the new, we've been doing the New Living Translation. I like, let's see. There's a wording. There it is. Here it is. It's God's Word Translation. That's what it is. And let's go here real quick because the clock is ticking. Oh yeah, 2 minutes. Okay, good. Praise God. I like that. All right. So it says Acts chapter 16, verse 25, it says around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. The other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly a violent earthquake shook the foundations of the jail. All the doors immediately flew open and all the prisoners' chains came loose. The jailer woke up and saw the prison doors open. Thinking that the prisoners had escaped, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul shouted as loudly as he could, "Don't hurt yourself. We're all here." The jailer asked for torches and rushed in. Okay, verse 30, it says, "Then he took Paul and Silas outside and asked, 'Sirs, what do I have to do to be saved?' They answered, 'Believe in the Lord Jesus and you and your family will be saved.' They spoke the Lord's word to the jailer and everyone in his home." That's pretty simple. So today, you've asked the question, what do I have to do to be saved? Well, believe. Let's just read it. If you want to be saved, here's what you have to do. Believe in the Lord Jesus. That's simple. Believe in the, all you have to do is believe. And actually, if you believe, then repeat this after me. Heavenly Father, today, I believe in the Lord Jesus, and me and my household will be saved. I've heard the word about how Jesus died for me. I've heard the word about how he came. Actually, repeat this. I believe in the Lord Jesus. I believe he died for my sins. I believe he was raised from the dead. And from this day forward, I want to live the rest of my life for him. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Hey, welcome to the family. Have a great Sunday. We'll talk next time.